Henry was in again too, and he's all cranked up to do a backgrounder. I think he'll do a good backgrounder, and I think we'll create more of a problem by turning him off than we will by letting him do it.
We'll have to do it now.
Yeah. He, as Ryan said, he wanted to be coached, so he wanted to do it. But Ron had already talked with him, and I guess somebody else, Hague or somebody, had already talked with him also. So he was in, and he started in the stuff. He said, I have to go brief myself for the backgrounder. Are you sure the president's in agreement that I should do one? I said, no, I'm not. He said, what do you mean he doesn't want me to do one? I said, I didn't say that, because Ron had talked before that. So I didn't say that, Henry, but I don't know that he is in favor of me doing it. He said, well, I think I've got to, because we've either got to do it today or in the next couple of days, and the more we let it stew, the more we're going to get into trouble, because those goddamn bastards will never get it straight now. Back to that. Okay. And,
I asked Ron.
Well, Henry's view is, you know, he said, I'm going to screw it all up. And it turns out, I asked Ron what he thought, because he said, you know, Henry is cranked up about something. He said, I don't think it's going to get in the way of the background, because it doesn't relate to this. He's in good shape on the situation, but in bad shape on just general things, as he has been for a long time. And Ron said, I'm convinced it was Roger's talk last night over there, and after dinner, because Henry was just furious afterwards. He came back over, I guess, with Henry afterwards, and he said he was wandering, kicking the chairs and stuff, and he gets mad. So then when Henry was in my
office, wasn't good job.
I don't know.
Good job.
Henry was in my office. I said, well, I still understand, Henry, what is the problem? What is it we're dealing with here? And he said, well, the problem at the moment is Roger's talk last night. He said, that was disastrous. And I said, I don't understand why. I agree that it was lousy, but I don't see where it was disastrous. And he said, well, it just doesn't fit with what we're trying to do. I said, well, who the hell's going to know if there are only 40 people sitting there? And he says, it'll be on every diplomatic wire today. Very significant.
Oh, yeah, he told me that too, but not what the hell. I'm talking to Roger's mates at the...
But then he said, I said, well, I still understand why this creates any greater crisis than we always have. You know, we always get these problems coming. And he said, well, it's an interesting kind of a line of reasoning. He said, the problem here is that, first he said, I don't have time to explain it to you. I have to go get ready for the background. And then he said, well, the problem here is this. I was able to deal with all these other crises, like San Fuegos and some of these other things, because they were single-handed things where I could move in and pull it out, you know, dealing with something unilateral. But he said, now, on the India-Pakistan question, it's a matter of bringing 30 different factors together, and you have to have help in order to do that. And it's now clear to me that I can't get that help from the State Department, that I, instead of getting help, I get undercut. And that puts me in the position of now realizing that I am not going to be able to negotiate the Mideast thing, which I have now been, I'm supposed to be setting up to do, because they'll undercut me on that. This is an indication. He said, the India-Pakistan in itself doesn't matter, because it'll be a gun in 2 weeks. It's a blip. It doesn't make any difference one way or the other anyhow. Then he said, on the other hand, it's extremely significant, because we cannot, for our long-range position with the Soviets, be in the position of letting a Chinese-American friend be clobbered by the Soviet client without our
acting myself
going through all that stuff. Right. And he said, but then he goes back to the other thing. He says, we just, I'm not going to be able to handle the other thing. I said, well, have they done specific things that you've given them instructions and that they've done wrong? He said, yes, all the time. I said, like what? And he cited something about where they had told the Iranians that we weren't going to,
where the Iranians are going to provide arms,
and so on.
We're trying to do it something where it's a violation of law and all that stuff.
Okay.
What's that charge?
And then he says, Roger, he said, how do you know they undercut you on this? And he said, I've got a cable that proves it. I said, well, what did you tell them then? You go to Rogers and say, we have a problem. He said, yeah. And Rogers says, it was a mistake. We'll undo it. But he said, it's too late. All I needed was one little signal, and now they've got it. But it's a complex web of things, but the trigger was Roger's last night, apparently.
Well, Roger wasn't very good last night. Another reason, and probably another trigger, though, was that back Roger was called on. As both the NSC thing and last night. I didn't really feel that deep down said he could have done it so much better.
I think that's a factor, and I think that's a problem in turning off his back battery.
The other thing I think is is true that Roger should have been better last night after I had laid it out so goddamn cold at the end of the meeting. That's the point. And Roger gets up and handles it. Basically, some week though. I mean, Bob, don't you agree?
Yes.
You want to be in peace.
Yeah.
Let's worry about these people that are going to be this or that or the other thing. You sound like a strong man.
He sounded weak. Especially, even if they were pretty strong, and that clown, the commerce minister, or whatever he is.
All right, fine. This will have to be a half-hour meeting. All right, sir.